Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. To evaluate the claims of the Bible, let's put it on the witness stand. As the cross-examination begins, we find a book that claims God spoke through its authors. Today, more on the claims the Bible makes for itself. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is called Seven Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible. Pastor Lutzer is teaching us about the claims of the Bible, where its authors clearly communicate the words of God Himself.
Listen to Isaiah the prophet. Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Verse 10 of the first chapter. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. And then one of my favorite Old Testament prophets, Jeremiah. Notice what he says in chapter 1. Just listen carefully. These are the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 30th year of his reign. Verse 4, now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, verse 9, then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Verse 11, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, what do you see, Jeremiah? Verse 13, the word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, what do you see? Verse 14, then the Lord said to me, out of the north, evil will break forth. But it is the Lord who said it six times. In Jeremiah chapter 1 alone, he says, these are the words of the Lord. And I don't know how many times he keeps repeating that throughout the many chapters of his book. Read some of the minor prophets. Minor not because they're off key. You know, it is true that many people don't know the scriptures very well, so some may think that minor prophets are those that you don't like to have in a choir. The minor prophets are minor because they are shorter. They're shorter. The word of the Lord came to Amos, saying. And the Lord came to Hosea, saying. Over and over again. And what about in the New Testament? Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And for this reason we also constantly thank God that when you receive from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Now, I know I've been going through a lot of passages of Scripture, but I want us to just pause for a moment and just let this sink in. The Apostle Paul would be mad. He would be insane to write something like this. Unless, of course, he was writing the very words of God. And what shall we say of Peter, who says this in his book, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but through the living and abiding word of God. All flesh is like the grass, and its glory is like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord abides forever, and this is the word which was preached to you. Could that be any clearer? You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, what if we were to go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and look at all the passages that claim that the Bible is the Word of God? Well, I want you to know that we could do that sometime, but I would like you to bring your lunch and a sleeping bag and plan for a long, long time. because those who have done it tell us that there are about 1,500 references in the Bible that claim that it is the Word of God, either directly or indirectly, claiming that these writings are the Word from God. Now, the implications, as I mentioned, are going to become clear in a few moments. But before we get to them, let me simply say, what about the Bible? What about its storyline? Is it consistent? You know, in a court of law, consistency is always important. There are other tests for truth other than consistency. But one thing is sure, you cannot have the truth if it is inconsistent. That is impossible. Logic demands consistency. Not even God can make 2 + 2 = 5. Consistency is the law of logic. And in the beginning, there was the Logos. And the Logos was with God. And the Logos was God. The logic of God is Jesus Christ. There can be no inconsistencies. If you become a Christian, nobody will ever ask you to believe a contradiction, because that is absurdity. It has never been done by sane people. Does the Bible have a coherent story as its witness to itself? The answer, of course, is yes. The unity of the Bible is incredible when you stop to think of it. You realize that it evolved over a period of 15 centuries. It was written in 3 different languages. You'll notice that during those 15 centuries, empires fell and other empires arose. You have during those centuries the rise of philosophies, such as among the Greeks, you have Plato and Aristotle. You have other Greek philosophers. And then after the time of Jesus Christ, of course, you have what is known as Neoplatonism, which was around during the New Testament era. All of these changes are going on in the world, and the books are being written and the books are being collected. The Bible was written by 40 different authors, with a variety of occupations: kings, fishermen, tax collectors, prophets, even a physician. Because when you hold the Bible in your hands, you know, of course, that you are not holding a book only. You are holding a library of 66 different books. And these books were written under different circumstances in different parts of the world. Some were written in Asia, Africa, Europe, Moses on Mount Sinai. Daniel was written in Babylon. And of course, there's no way to even enumerate all the different cities from which the New Testament books, for example, were written. Despite all of these differences, you have in the scriptures an incredible interweaving of truth. So that from beginning to end, you have a consistent storyline. And that storyline basically begins in Genesis, where man fell. Chapter 3, verse 15, God says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed." It is there that Jesus Christ is predicted. And all the way through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, you begin to see how God is choosing a nation and preparing the coming of Jesus Christ. And in the New Testament, Jesus Christ appears. And the Old Testament is quoted in the New Testament 181 times, primarily to show the fulfillment of prophecy. That does not refer to all of the other times that there are references to the Old Testament characters. Someone has said that the new is in the old concealed. The new is there. It's there when you have the Passover lamb. It is there when you find that Moses is saying that God is going to raise up a prophet like unto me, but he's going to be greater than I am. It is there. The new is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed. Old Testament plants seeds that germinate and bear fruit in the New Testament. Now, just think about this for a moment. The styles of the writers and the kind of literature that is in the Bible is very diverse. We have history, law, poetry, parables, allegories. There are also biographies. All of this is found in the Bible. And yet the unity of Jesus Christ from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, to the book of Revelation at the end, where it says, "Even so come, Lord Jesus," is all tied in a single theme with a single consistent purpose and teaching. Imagine trying to get 10 men together, and you ask these 10 men to write about topics as diverse as God and His nature, God's relationship to the world, angels, demons, the afterlife, such as heaven and hell, the true nature of God's purposes, and you expect all of these 10 men to somehow agree. What we have in the Bible is 40 such men over a period of 1,500 years, all agreeing, but not just writing essays on various topics, but interrelating the scriptures in a way that makes the fair-minded reader astounded. Imagine writing on all those topics and agreeing. You know, the Bible has unity of symbolism. Fire always is symbolic of purification and judgment. There is unity of symbolism regarding oil. It represents the Holy Spirit. Leaven, evil, it represents it. And then you see books such as the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, and its prophecies, by the way, are accurate and astounding, as we shall see in another message. Here you have the book of Daniel in the Old Testament and the book of Revelation in the New Testament, and they dovetail like a hand and a glove, and you find out that they are talking about the same time periods, the same kind of kingdoms, the same kind of future, and the book of Revelation is only adding more details to what Daniel has already written, and it has these visions and these difficult symbols, which we do not perhaps fully understand, but nonetheless we see its central teaching, and we are astounded at its accuracy and its unity. How do we describe the Bible? The Bible is really like a cathedral. It has different parts, different lighting, different arrangements, architecture within it, but all unified, so that it is a part of a consistent whole. And we see it and we say to ourselves, surely men could not have written all of these books. They could not have.
My friend, today the Bible is indeed a remarkable book. I've written a book entitled 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible. It contains a logical reason, historical reason, prophetic reason, scientific reason, Christological reason, providential, personal reason. I wrote this book so that your confidence in the Scriptures might be strengthened. You, I believe, will be blessed, but you also know other people who need to read this book so that they might understand that when we hold the Bible, we're holding the very Word of God.
Erwin Lutzer has brought part 2 of The Claims of the Bible, the second of 8 messages in his series, 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible. This series can be yours in book form when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. Ask about 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.